see here is to be faithful to whatever little door opens. You know why some people wait for a big door? They want big doors. So when small door open, they say, I'm not interested. Imagine Barnabas went all the way to Tarsus. We got a journey. And he came to Paul. Let's pretend he's Paul in Tarsus. He's actually Luke Skywalker, right? Okay, so I come to Paul. I say, Paul, you know, come on. Hi, that's King Herod over there. Okay, Paul. And he says, Paul, there's this little place here. And this kind of people coming to know God. And a lot of them are Gentiles too. It's not a normal place. Say, Paul, it's not normal. Because every place we go, there are lots of Jews, but this place is different. And I'm calling you to come and help me. Paul can respond differently. Why you must call me to an abnormal place? You just said that it's not normal. So, you trying to say I'm not normal? I mean, there are many factors. And Paul could say, what kind of door is it? What do you want me to do? Oh, there are lots of Gentiles there. But I'm a Jew. I'm a hot, red, full-blooded Jew. Remember, that's not my word. This is Paul's word. He says he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And imagine God's sense of humor. He called a highly intellectual man, brought up by the best teacher of his time, Gamaliel, who was incidentally in the secular Hebrew world a famous person. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he teach him all this educated, a well-educated man. He was a man of degrees to send him to the barbarians, the Gentiles, other nations. And then he calls people who are uneducated, fishermen, and nobodies, not scholarly at all, rough in their mannerisms, send them to the educated people, the Jews. He sent Peter to the Jews, sent Paul to the Gentiles. God works in ways we never expect. He comes to Paul and says, Paul, there's this door. Would you like to help me? Paul was not doing anything. It's a small little door. What will I be doing? Will I be fulfilling the vision that I had when Jesus appeared to me in Acts 9? He talked about before kings. And Paul could say, are there any kings there? Sorry, no. Are there any Jews there? Very few. Are there any Gentiles? Yes, a lot of barbarians there. How big is this door? How long will I be? Remember, the Bible says there are one whole year there, but he didn't know it was going to be a year. When he went there, he was prepared that he could have been there the rest of his life. And so he says, Paul, would you like to join me? Help me here. And we do not know all the conversations and all the things that took place. Whether Paul says, let me pray 40 days and 40 nights about that. Wait, let me see whether I got vision from the Lord. Now, some people will only move when God speaks spectacularly. But they don't use the word spectacularly. They say supernaturally. And God works supernaturally sometimes through people. Their voice is God's voice speaking to you. But what they want is not just supernatural. They want spectacular. So that I know that it's God speaking to me. So every time God speaks, there must be lightning flashing, thunders rolling, choir singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, earth shaking, all these things, and then a loud, bassy, thunderous voice. This is my will for you. And we say, all right, it's God, now I'll go. Sometimes God works in ways we don't expect. So, Paul just went along and helped. He was there just to help. In point number one, we realize that one has to be faithful to the little things before God bring you to the bigger things. You have to be faithful to small little doors. And then one day God will open a great big door. If that's your destiny and calling, God will do what He promised. So in terms of ministry progression, we see the first law of ministry, number one, is to be faithful wherever you are planted. Whether it's a small little thing or big thing, small little door, small little job or big job, just be faithful to do what is in your hands with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all that you have within you, just to do it. It's better to do some small little thing for God than to do nothing. The other choice is to do nothing. But here he could do something. And so he did that something, a small little thing, teaching the people, that one little door that got opened unto him. And he was faithful day after day. In those days, they don't have Bible study once a week. In those days, they had Bible study every day. They had no television, no DVDs, no videos, no none of those distractions that are here in our modern era. So when the sun sets, the only other entertainment to sit at the gate and mix with all those fellas, or to go into Christian homes and sing hymns and talk about the Bible and talk about God. So it was an interesting time that he was there every day teaching the word, being faithful, sharing the word, sometimes to a small little house. Sometimes they might not even have one big place where they meet together. Paul might have gone from one little home to the other just teaching and sharing the Bible. He's just faithful where he's planted. Another person was like that. Joseph, who later became the prime minister in Egypt. But remember when Joseph entered Egypt the first time, he entered at the lowest strata of society. Slave. He was sold as a slave. Doesn't even own his own body. But when he was given any job, he did it well. I mean, you can imagine when Potiphar bought him at a slave market. How much is that boy over there? It looks like about 17 years old boy. How much is that boy over there? Oh, and I'll give it to you for 20 pieces of silver. Could be more. I mean, he just bought it for 20. So let's say 30, right? Make 10 pieces of silver. But he bought Joseph. And he's a young boy. And he already got a house full of slaves. Don't you think that Joseph straight away became number one? He's a new slave. And in those days, if you read the tradition of those times, new slaves start at the bottom. They don't start at the top. Plus, he was a young boy. He's not even a mature elderly person. He's a young boy. And so he starts right at the bottom. And I could imagine, the Bible doesn't give all these stories, the details. It just summarized in the book of Genesis 39. When Joseph went to Egypt, I could imagine when he first went to a house, say, Joseph, you take care of all the toilets. Scrub all my toilets. And in those days, the toilets are terrible. Don't have. Soap was not invented yet. Flush system was not invented yet. Water was not easily available. You fetch the water yourself. Scrub the toilets. Clean this, clean that. But Joseph did it different from anybody else. He must have excelled in what he did. And then they notice something. Whenever Joseph does anything, it seems that God is blessing it. Whatever he touched, and he says, Joseph, go, come and help me in the field here. And I got to plant all this harvest. And when Joseph went into one field and planted it, they noticed if Joseph is the one who did it, it had a better yield than any other field. Say, Joseph, what's your secret? What's your secret, Joseph? Joseph said, I just love the Lord. Maybe he could have gone there like one of these black American slaves who were taken, unfortunately, a sad moment in history. And, you know, you have what you call this, pardon my word, but that's a title they give it, these Negro spirituals. And because they were slaves, these black, unfortunate black, black Africans who sold to slavery in America in long, long ago, before the Civil War, their only joy in life, remember, as a slave, you don't own anything. Their only joy in life is to find joy in whatever they're doing, correct? You could work very hard and you own nothing. You could either face that life depressed or find joy in what you are doing. At least you're doing something. And you got food to eat. And that's where all the Negro spirituals come. Imagine they would be, you know, scrubbing their muscles and say, nobody knows the trouble I have been. They could be scrubbing the floor and say, swing low, sweet chariot, coming and carry me home. Oops, sorry. So all these Negro preachers come up because they sang when they did their work. They worship when they did their work. So you have all these beautiful songs. And they came out not because they had free time to compose. Slaves don't have much free time. They came up because in their pain, in their suffering, in their hardship, in the meaninglessness of life, they found time to worship and to sing to a God who they can turn to. Lord, then turn to Jesus, which is why all these Negro spirituals were there. I believe Joseph was that way. When Joseph did something, what every other slave say, I don't want to do. No, no, not this job. I want a better job. Joseph, anything you ask him to do, he'll do it, and he'll do it better than anybody else. The master, Mr. Potiphar. Mr. Potiphar noticed it. Unfortunately, Mrs. Potiphar also noticed for wrong reason. But Mr. Potiphar notice it. And he started promoting Joseph. And in the end, Joseph, who started with nothing, became slave number one. Read Genesis 39. It's the stories inside. It says that he was so high in the house that the master literally delegated everything to him. So that even the master himself doesn't know what goes on. It's how much he trusted Joseph. And the master gave everything to Joseph so that the Bible says, whatever was done was Joseph's doing. That's how hardworking he was. See, only a hardworking man, I can assure you, can reach that status. Well, some of you are turning it. Let's all turn together then. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. And here's a story. Oops, I mean Exodus, yeah. Genesis 39. Here we have it. It says here in verse 3. Now verse 4 is the promotion. It was 3 that was the beginning. Verse 2 and verse 3. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Look at those words. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now the Lord blessed.